We're in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to begin tonight with verse 25. But before we get to do verse 25, I want just to reiterate that you have to understand verse 21. Verse 21 is the key verse to understanding the relationships that husband and wives should have. Verse 21 says again, submitting yourselves unto one to another in the fear of God. See, when we are filled with the Spirit, and that's what this whole idea is all about in Ephesians chapter 5, is submitting to the Spirit. When we are filled with the Spirit, then what happens is that it will show by our mutual submission to each other. And so in the submission, will be done in the fear, in the respect for the Lord. And so when you understand verse 21, which is the key verse, then there will be no problems that we deal with for the wives to submit in verse 22, for the husbands to be the head, for the husband to be the savior, for the husband to love his wife like his own body. Wives won't have a problem in submitting everything in verse 24 because of the fact of verse 21. Because when you understand that, everything else falls into place. So if we respect Jesus, then we will respect each other and we'll submit to one another. Why? Because we love Jesus. All right? We want to please the Lord. So in verse 25, he starts out now by saying, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. The command, husbands, love your wives. It continues Paul's explanation of the mutual submission that is mentioned in verse 21. Because again, if you understand verse 21, then husband won't have no problem loving their wives. And so the husband's primary submission to his wife is through his love for her. All right? Through his love for her. And so the apostle makes it clear that this is a boundless kind of love. This is an agape love that we should have. Christ loved the church before he brought the church into existence. Christ, he chose and he loved his own even before the foundation of the world. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4. And so because God's love is eternal, present, having no past and having no future, is present. And so we got to understand his love is eternally present. And so he said, love your wives. And so though the husband's authority has already been established in verse 22 through verse number 24, it's already been established. The emphasis, what it does now, it moves. It moves to the supreme responsibility of husbands in regard to their wives, which is to love them with the same unreserved, selfless, sacrificial love that Christ had for the church. And so that's the type of love that the husbands are to have. Why? Christ gave everything that he had. He gave everything, including his own life. Why? For the sake of his church. And so that is the standard of sacrificial sacrifice that a husband needs to have for his wife. Let's look at Colossians. Colossians 3 and verse 19. Colossians 3 and verse 19. You know, again, we see that from first in verse 18, he already said, wives submit. There it is again. He talks to the church. Submit yourself unto your own husband, as is fit in the Lord. Husband, love your wives. But he says, be not bitter. That means be not harsh toward them. Don't be bitter toward them, but you need to love your wives just like Christ also loved the church. And so we see that. So the husband who loves his wife as Christ loved his church, he gives everything he has for his wife. Gives everything he has for his wife. And also what he does is he makes sacrifices. He puts his own likes. He puts his own desires. He puts his own preference. He puts his own opinions and his own welfare aside if that is required to please his wife. Whatever it takes to please her, to meet her needs. That's what he do. Because look at Christ. Christ made the sacrifice of what? Of himself. He put himself aside for what? For us. And so we need to understand that's the type of love that husbands are to have for their wives. In other words, husbands, you die to self. You die to self in order to live for your wife. In other words, because that's the kind of love that Christ had. That's why he said, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also love the church. And we see all the things that Christ has done for the church, the sacrifice that he made. And that's what you have to do. And so the love of Christ was an agape love. All right? And this type of love is not because of what it can get in return. No, it's unselfish love, which even loves even the unlovable. You know, when a person is hard to love, you got to have an agape love. You love in spite of. That's what Christ did. He loved in spite of while we were yet. So he didn't wait till we got straightened out, but he loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died. He died for us. And so, since divine love seeks to complete cleanse those who are loved from every form of sin and every form of evil, a Christian husband should not be able to bear the thoughts of anything sinful, not only in his life, but even in his wife's life. And so anything that's displeasing to God. And that's why verse 21 is very important. In the fear of the Lord. You don't want to do anything to set up and disappoint the Lord. You want to be pleasing to the Lord. So if you're going to be pleasing to the Lord, You got to be pleasing to your wife. And I said last week, is that husband and wife, you have a double responsibility. You are not only husband and wife, but your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so if you treat your brother and sister right, you're going to treat your husband, your wife right. And so, because why? We got to answer to God. We got to answer to God for that. And so the husband's greatest desire for her should be that she become perfectly conformed to Christ. But guess what? In order for her to do it, you're going to have to be the leader. You're going to have to lead her to that. Because why? You are the head. And when I said about head, it means you are the direction. You direct the body. And so you are directing that family. You are directing that wife. Because guess what? Your main focus, your main example, the reason, your main role model, is the reason I'm doing it is because my role model is Jesus. I do it to please Jesus. And so we need to understand that. So that's why he goes on in the verse, when you go to verse 26 and 27, he talks about this. He says there in verse 26 and 27 that he might, and again, he's still comparing to you, that he might sanctify, cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. And so what this speaks of here is that it speaks of the love of Christ for his church. It speaks of the love of Christ for his church. Saving grace makes believers holy by the agency of the order of God. When you look at Titus, and you write that down, go back and look, Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. Titus 2, 1 through 9, and either Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. So there's Titus 2, 1 through 9, Titus chapter 3, and verse number 5. And so he does it so that they may be a pure bride for the husband to love their wives as Christ loved his church demands a purifying love. You got to have a purifying. You got to have a holy love. You got to have an agape love. And that's what it's all about. So he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Well, what are you talking about? The great love of Christ for his church, his bride, is shown as an example to a Christian husband. What do you mean? Christ gave himself for the church. You have to give yourself to your wife. His object was to sanctify or make it holy. That was his object. To make it holy. So in order to do this, it was needful to cleanse it with the washing of water. How? By the word. By the word. All right? And so this verse, you know, we can look at that. So when will he perfectly sanctify the church? When he returns for her in glory. But not only that, when was the church cleansed? Well, the church was cleansed at conversion. How was her conversion effected? By the gospel. It was by the gospel. It was by the word. And so what is to be associated then with conversion? The washing of water, which is what? Baptism. That's what is associated with. And so he says now that he might sanctify. He's talking about his bride. He may sanctify. He might cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. But then notice, why is he going to do that? Why is he trying to sanctify it? Why is he trying to cleanse it? Because verse 27 says that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. And so the truth in this analogy that we see here is that saving grace makes believers holy through the cleansing agency of the Word of God. All right? So that they may be presented to Christ, his pure bride. Why? Forever to dwell in his love. And so it is with the same purpose, with the same love, that the husbands ought to cultivate the purity, the righteousness, the sanity of their wives. All right? So the ultimate purpose of Jesus was to do what? Love for the church is to present her to himself as a chaste bride. All right? So the only way for the church to be without spot, only way for the church to be with wrinkle, is for it to be grounded in the Word of God. That's the only way. We have to be grounded. So that's why when you're looking at this, Christ is comparing not only the husband and wife, but he's comparing it to his church. This is what you need to be doing as husband, just as Christ was doing for his church. This is how you treat your wife, like Christ treated his bride. All right? He loved her. Whatever they needed, he supplied. That's why he said, my God shall supply all your needs. Philippians 4 and verse 19. And so we have to understand. So when you study the word of God, that's what makes the church ready. That's what makes you studying. You are in the word of God. Jesus paid a full price for the church. And so, y'all heard me, you know, another scripture, he calls the church a chaste virgin. When you look over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 2. And what that just means is that the church had been faithful to the Lord. See, listen, when you're faithful in your marriage, you're faithful to your husband and your wife. Why? Because Christ was faithful to his church, and that's why I'm faithful to them, because of the fact of Christ. Christ is the example. Christ is the role model. So if you want to know how to treat your wife, look at Christ and see how he treated his wife, how he treated his church, how he loved it, and so how he made sacrifices for it. And so then he says, then so ought. Notice what he's doing. He first of all, in verse 21, he first of all says, listen, in order to do all of these things, you submit. You submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. Then what he does is now he talks to the wife in verse 22. He said, wife, submit. Submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. And then he tells the husband, listen, you are the head. You are the head. You are the direction. All right? You are the head of the wife. And the reason you are, because, look, I said, because I'm the head of the church. All right? So you treat, but also you are the savior. You are the protector. You are the provider to your wife. All right? He's a Savior. And then he says, he goes back and he says, now the church is, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband and everything. And then we said that on last week when you're talking about everything, long as it is in accordance with the will of God. And that's why it's important that you follow verse 21. All right? Because if you do that, you don't have no problem. Wife won't have no problem submitting and everything. If as long as it's following God, long as this is doing with God and you're pleasing God, then the wife won't have no problem. Then he goes on and he says, listen, husband, love your wives. We just looked at that. As Christ also loved the church, and he talks about how he loved the church. He sanctified it. He cleansed it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it's going to be holy and without blemish. And now he goes back and he says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. What is he talking about? When he talks about as his own body, here is one of the most compelling descriptions of the oneness that should be characterized in a marriage. It's right here. A Christian husband is to care for his wife with the same devotion that he naturally manifests as he cares for himself. Y'all see that? So since his self-sacrificing love causes him to put her first. And so we look at that. Love your wives as your own bodies. And even in the end, a husband who loves his wife in that way, guess what? You bring great blessings to yourself and also to your wife from the Lord. Y'all listen, it's all about pleasing the Lord. That's why, that's the whole thing Paul is addressing. Before he even got to that, he talked about walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, because it has a lot to do with it. If you're walking in the Spirit, then you're about pleasing God. And if you're about pleasing God, you're about not only pleasing your wife, pleasing your family, but also you have love for others. You'll treat them right, even when they don't treat you right. Because of the love, because of in the fear of the Lord, I respect the Lord, I'm going to treat you right, even if you don't treat me right. That's why he talks to the church there in Rome, in Romans chapter 12. You know, he talks about evil and good. You know, if they treat you bad, you still treat them good. All right? All right. Why? Because I'm trying to please God. And y'all, this is what this is all about. That if you're pleasing God, then all of these other things right here, it stays in place. You know what it means. The wife know what it means when you say, you know, you don't have to, you know, we talked about that. That's one of the biggest problems. We don't understand headship. We don't understand submission. And so that's why we spent some time talking about that. Because a lot of times, that's why a lot of marriages fall apart, because of the fact that we pick out these little scriptures right here, but we don't understand, we don't use it in the right context. And so when we understand headship, when you understand, that means you are leading your family. You are directing your family. You're submitting, the wife is submitting because of the fact that's what the Lord wants. I'm pleasing the Lord. And so he says again, so ought men to love their wives as their own body. Because we got to understand, as a Christian, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Y'all know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Well, what did that mean? We should be taking proper care of our body. We're giving them the right food, maintaining reasonable strength, getting enough rest. And it goes on and it goes on and on. So when our body is healthy, then guess what? We have a sense of well-being. So what does that mean? When a husband meets the needs of the wife, when the husband meets the needs of his wife with the same care, with the same concern with which he meets the needs of his own body, guess what? That's going to be a productive relationship. Because I'm treating my wife the same way I'm treating my body. Now, if you're abusing your body, which you shouldn't be, because it don't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. And so that's why he says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You understand that. So what this verse does is it introduced in verse 27 the sacrificial love, the benefits, the giver, as well as the receiver. And so we see that, and then he says, then verse 29, as he began to talk about, after he talks about the love of his wife and loveth himself, that, you know, he profits from this. And not only, watch this, not only does he profit from it, but your wife profits from it. And when you're taking care of your wife like you're taking care of your own body, both of y'all are profiting. That's what it's all about, right? It's pleasing each other. All right? And so we understand here. So this has to do, we understand. Again, there's neither male nor female. Well, we are all one. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And so... so as we look at this, he says then, he goes on and explains about the body. After he says that men ought to love their own bodies, wives like their own bodies, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. And look what he says in verse 29. He says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished, cherished it, even as the Lord. Again, he's dealing with what? The church. He's comparing it to the church. All right? So the assertion right here is that the husband who loves his wife, he loves himself. And so the reason is that the church is part of Jesus' body. So the wife is a part of what? Her husband's body. Because you are one. You are one. And so when the husband loves her, he loves himself. All right? All right? So the husband who loves his wife bring profit, bring great blessings to his wife. All right? So the husband who loves his wife, in verse 29, as Christ loved the church, will no more do anything to harm her than he harms his own flesh. All right? Now again, he's talking to the Christian husband, the Christian wife. All right? If you love the Lord, you won't do anything. Not only you won't hurt yourself, but you won't be harming her as well. That's the type of love. That's the type of love that that you have. He desires to nourish and cherish her just like he nourishes and cherishes his own body. And so, because that's how Christ does to the church. He loved the church. He cherished it. So what we need to do is look at it in the light of, when you're looking at your marriage, look at it in the light of this particular scripture, in the light of the church. What Christ did for the church, how Christ loved the church, this is how you need to love. This is how you need to do. This is how you need to submit. Because that's the word of God is there for us. You know, it ought to be our guide. When she needs strength, guess what? You give her strength. When she needs encouragement, you are there to give her encouragement. When you need encouragement, she is there to give you some encouragement. When you need some strength, she is there to give you the strength to help you. That's how y'all it ought to work in marriages. Is each one is helping each other. Just as God supplies all needs according to his riches in glory. In Philippians 4:19, the loving husband seeks to supply all the needs of his wife. But in order to do that, you got to move self out of the way. You got to move self out of the way, and you got to understand that it's about pleasing the Lord. So whatever she needs, I'm there to give her those things that she needs. And as she's doing that, guess what is helping me? Because she is submitting in the Lord and making her feel good. Making her feel, you know, important. So as we continue to look at that, we'll mark it right there, and then we'll pick back up with the rest, and then we'll go into chapter 6. Not next week, we got the next. So again, we just hope that you are taking note of these things, and because it's all about having better marriages and better relationships. But in order to have that, you got to understand submission. You got to submit in the fear of the Lord, because it's all about pleasing the Lord. And if I'm pleasing the Lord, then I'm going to be pleasing to one another. I'm going to be pleasing to my wife. She's going to be pleasing to me as a husband. All right? So at this time, we're going to go through our prayer requests, and then we'll